Joshua chapter number 7 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 20. Joshua chapter number 7 in your Bibles in verse number 20. The Bible says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." Father, I pray this morning that you would use your word in our hearts to grab a hold of us. Lord, I pray this morning that as we look at sin, and Achan's sin in particular, Father, I pray that we would leave this morning with a deep hatred for sin and a desire to stay as far away from it. Father, help me as I preach. I pray that you use me in Jesus' name. Amen. We were preaching last week there in the beginning of Joshua chapter number 7. The children of Israel came to that little city of Ai. It was just a small little city. They sent the spies there to check out that city, and they came back with that report to Joshua. They said, "Joshua, we're able to take the city. All we need is about 2,000 or 3,000 men to walk down to that city, and they'll win the battle. No big deal. We're going to win this thing." And they went in the power of the flesh instead of depending upon the Spirit of God. By the way, whenever we depend upon our flesh, we're going to fall flat on our face. And whenever you think, "Well, I'm strong enough and I'm capable of winning the battle," that's when you're going to mess up. I think about Peter. Peter said to Jesus, "Though all men forsake you, yet I won't forsake you. I can do it in my own flesh," was what Peter was saying. And just a couple of hours later, what is Peter doing? Peter is denying the Lord Jesus Christ those three times. And they say, "Hey, you don't need to go up with the whole army. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 men." Remember we talked about last week how there were 36 men that died? The nation of Israel was discouraged. They suffered a great defeat there at Ai. And remember, the message was entitled, the theme of the message and the purpose was the wrong ingredient. And they lost the battle because there was a Savior was not sought. They were self-sufficient. And there was a lack of separation from sin. And there was a lack of solidarity among the saints. Simply put, everybody stayed home. And we talked about the importance of winning the battle. But as we continue to go through this chapter and this story continues to play out, the Bible says they come and Joshua falls on his face there in verse number 10. And he says, "God, why did we lose the battle? Hey, God, what is the problem? Why were you not with us in this battle? Why did we suffer this great loss?" The Lord said to Joshua, he said, "Joshua, get off your face. Hey, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. I cannot bless you. I cannot allow you guys to go on and conquer the land while there is sin that is undealt with." And so God said, "Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to assemble all the people early in the morning." And God said, "I am going to pick the man. I'm going to let you know where the problem is at." And boy, the Bible says that morning they got up early. And man, Joshua called for the 12 tribes to be represented there on that day. And the Bible says that Achan's tribe was taken, and then his family was taken, and then the finger of Joshua through the power of God was pointed at Achan. And Joshua said, "Achan, what happened? What did you do? Why did you bring this curse upon our nation and upon God's people? What did you do, Achan?" And boy, we read in Joshua chapter number 6 exactly what Achan did. He was in Jericho. He knew the commandment of God that the gold and the silver was accursed. It was set apart to God. He knew what God's clear-cut command was, and yet when Achan saw the gold and the silver, the Babylonian garments, the Bible says that he took it.
And he hid it in his tent, and he thought he got away with a perfect crime. Let me remind you this morning, child of God, that sin is vile and is disgusting. You realize every time we sin, we're always looking for a way to hide it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what your issue may be. Whenever we sin, we are always looking for an excuse for why we did it. We're always looking for a way to hide it. And many times we try to find opportunities to sin when nobody else is around. And boy, let me just say, child of God, this morning, that sin is wicked and vile before God. Nothing good ever is accomplished by you sinning. Nothing is done for God by our wicked life of living a life of sin. The devil is a deceiver. He comes along and he says, hey, go ahead and participate in sin. He came to Achan there and tempted Achan with that gold, the silver, and the garments. He said, Achan, you can get away with it. Hey, nobody will know, Achan. You are an exception to the rule. And boy, Satan tricked Achan there on that day. And that's exactly what Satan tries to do to you and to me. Many deceives us. The Bible says that he's a deceiver. The Bible says be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Friend, this morning, Satan desires to ruin your life. He desires to wreck your marriage. He desires to destroy this church. He desires to destroy your testimony for God. Satan is against you, and he desires for you to cave into his temptations and to sin against Almighty God. Oh, I hope this morning, friend, that you will not believe the lie of the devil when the temptation comes your way. I hope you won't believe the lie of Hollywood and the lie of the temptation of sin when it comes your way. You say, Pastor, what is the lie of Hollywood? Hey, why did Achan sin? I believe Achan sinned because he believed the lie of Hollywood. What is that lie? Hey, the lie is you'll get away with it. The lie is nobody will know. Man, you turn on the television today, and what do you find? You find these commercials. I think about how Satan is such a liar and the lie of Hollywood. What are the commercials? Man, you turn on the television, you're watching a basketball game, and man, there's an alcohol commercial, there's a beer commercial, there's a vodka commercial. By the way, the Bible says we're not even supposed to look at it. And you know what you ought to do if that comes on? You ought to change the channel. You ought to turn the television off. There's a beer commercial, because the Bible says we're not even going to look at it. By the way, you're not going to drink it if you're not going to look at it. I won't go there about my opinion. Well, the Bible says that alcohol is sin, and we ought to stay completely away from it. That's what the Bible teaches. We're not even going to look at it. And we're not even, so the Bible says, woe unto him that gave it his neighbor to drink. We're not supposed to sell it. We're not supposed to consume it. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But, you know, Hollywood will say, hey, you drink this alcohol, Budweiser, you drink this vodka, and man, you'll be the life of the party. Man, you drink this alcohol, and you'll have all these people surrounding you. You'll have all the praise of man. You'll be the life of the party if you drink that alcohol. You know what Hollywood does not show you? It does not show you a mom that's whose husband has just left and who has bruises and who's been beaten because of alcohol. It doesn't show you the kids that are daddyless because daddy's in jail because of crimes committed because of alcohol. Hey, it doesn't show you a car wreck where somebody's been drinking that alcohol and was killed because of that alcohol. It doesn't show you the lives that alcohol has taken. Hey, you say, Pastor, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying Satan will come along, advertise his sin. And boy, it may be alcohol. It may be a promiscuous lifestyle. It may be whatever your issue is, but he'll say, hey, go ahead and participate in it. And the end result is nothing but wonderful and joy and fulfillment. That is a lie of the devil. And then their Achan was that morning. And boy, they went and they conquered Jericho. The walls came tumbling down, and Achan saw the gold, the silver, the garments, and Achan thought, you know what? I've got my retirement set. Man, I don't have to worry about the future. I don't have to worry about working hard, because here's the gold, the silver, the garments. Man, my life is taken care of. And he swallowed Hollywood's lie. He swallowed the devil's lie, and the end result was it cost him his life and his family because he believed the lie of the devil. Oh, I hope this morning, dear friend, that you will run from temptation. I hope that you will flee also youthful lust. I hope this morning that as we look at Achan's decision to sin, and you and I will be determined to live a holy and a pure and separated life, living according to the Word of God. There is nothing good that comes from sin. Sin blinds, deceives, hurts, hinders, compromises, endangers, wrecks, and destroys everything that is good. God wants us to enjoy the best that is available to the Christian, but sin hinders the believer. All the bad news in the world is because of sin. If you turn on the evening news, what do you hear about? You hear about murders. You hear about rapes. You hear about robbery. You hear about crime that is committed. Why? Because of our sin nature. Sin is awful and it will ruin and wreck your life. Jesus said this. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Oh, the sad truth is this morning, we know what God says. We know the will of God is that we would enjoy the blessings from walking with him. And yet, unfortunately, we make the choice to disobey God's commandment. And we make the choice to allow sin to have dominion over us. Sin will kill this church. Sin will ruin your home. It will destroy the next generation of kids. Sin is wicked, vile, awful, deplorable, disgusting. And this morning, I want us to walk out of this room with the desire to flee from sin. I want us to understand that, be sure your sin will find you out. I want you this morning to flee also youthful lust. I want you to heed Paul's plea with Timothy to keep thyself pure. I want us to understand Peter's desire to be holy as he is holy. To heed that verse, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. To do not err, my beloved brethren. You say, preacher, how can I have victory over sin this morning? How can I be a victorious Christian in my walk with God? Would you notice, first of all, this morning, would you notice the problems associated with sin? Look over in chapter number 7 and verse number 4. The Bible says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate even unto Shibirim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Understand this morning, first of all, I want you to see the problems that are associated with your sin. By the way, I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what the temptations you've been dealing with. I don't know what God's been working with you about. But friend, this morning, there are some major problems that are associated with sin. Notice, first of all, how there was death. Man, 36 men died. You think about that. We think about that number. 36 men died. Think about that. 36 moms received the bad news that their sons weren't living any longer. 36 wives heard the news, hey, your husband's not coming home. 36 kids heard that news. Hey, your daddy died in the battle. Man, think about the families that were touched because of that their sin. Think about the individuals that suffered and grieved because of the sin of Achan. You say, pastor, what's the big deal? It's just one look at that pornography. It's just one loose moment in my morality. It's just one lie at the workplace. It's just one sip of alcohol. It's just one this and one that. It's just one time. It's no big deal. And yet, you know what? That's from what we can see in Achan's life, that's the only time he stole. He may have been a thief before. We don't know. This is the first time and the only time we see recorded in the Word of God where Achan sinned against God. Hey, you know what you say, pastor, what's the big deal? It's just one time. Oh, friend, understand. There are 36 men died because of their sin. There is a heavy price tag attached to sin. Not only were the men died, but number two, the people were discouraged because of sin. Understand, the people were discouraged. I mean, I have run into people. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he grew up in a good church. Man, has a godly family, godly home that he's from, and yet he's out of church, running from God because of some sin that took place in the church he was involved with. And here was a young man that was going forward for God, and at least had a heart for God, went to a Christian college, and yet what happened when sin came around, and the consequences from sin was, here was a young man that was discouraged and dropped out of church because of somebody else's sin. Your sin will discourage people from walking forward for God. Hey, maybe I'm preaching to dad today, and boy, you think, it's okay, I can commit adultery, no big deal. You know what you're going to do? You're going to kill your kids and their walk with God, and spiritually you will hinder them. I'm preaching to somebody this morning, and you've got a testimony for God at the workplace, and yet you're tempted to lie, you're tempted to cheat, you're tempted to do something wrong at the workplace. You say, pastor, what's the big deal? The big deal is you will hinder and discourage those that surround you, that you're influencing for God by your sin and by your choice to disobey God. Achan said, probably had the mindset, it won't affect anybody, and yet 36 men died. The nation as a whole was discouraged. courage. And then what happened in verse number six? It says, Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us? Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, and the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth? And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Your sin, not only does it affect the lives of others, not only does it affect your kids' lives, but understand it also affects the name of the Lord. You call yourself a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're looking at things you ought not look at. You're saying things you ought not say. You're texting things you ought not text. You're drinking things you ought not drink, eating things you ought not eat. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying every time I go out, every time I get up in the morning, I get off my bed, I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And boy, Israel sinned, and Joshua said, God, what should I do to your great name? Your name has been drunk through the mud because of sin. Every time I get angry, every time I say something wrong, I'm dragging the name of God through the mud. I wonder, are you allowing sin to hinder the testimony of Jesus Christ? We see, number one, the problems because of sin. But notice, second of all, as sin has been exposed there in verse number 19, it says, And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Let me just say this morning that God will expose your sin. Now look in verse number 10. It says, The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Understand this morning, friends, you will be caught. The Bible says, Be sure your sin will find you out. God knows, and because God loves you so much, you know what God's not going to let you do? He's not going to let you get away with your sin. You say, well, Pastor, man, if I'm caught, man, then I'm embarrassed. You know what? God loves you so much. He sees the path you're going. And if you continue to go down that path, his name's going to be destroyed even more and drugged through the mud even more. God loves you too much to let you get away with it. And so God will expose your sin because he loved you. And yet God said to Joshua, he said, listen, I'm going to expose it there on that day. So what happened? Achan's taken. And we see number two, how did Achan get there? We saw the problems associated with sin. We see number two, the path to sin. What caused Achan to sin? What causes us to sin this morning? Notice there in verse number 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. By the way, some have said, well, Pastor, Achan apologized for his sin. He admitted his sin. Let me say, this was not true repentance. You can go through the Bible and you can see the phrase, I have sinned. I think about there in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh said to Moses, he said, I have sinned. Achan said, I have sinned. And I betrayed Judas Iscariot there in Matthew chapter 27 said, I have sinned and I betrayed the innocent blood. Peter said, I have sinned. David said, I have sinned. There's a difference between Achan and Pharaoh and Judas and David and Peter. They all said the statement, I have sinned. But the difference is Achan and Pharaoh and Judas, you know what they're saying? You know why they admitted it? Because they were caught. You know what I'm talking about? I think about when you're caught with the cookie in your on your cheeks and in your mouth, and then you got your hand in the cookie jar, and mama came walking in. What are you doing? Guilty, right? Because you couldn't hide it, right? And Achan was looking for a way to hide it. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't you. We don't come to Joshua 7 verse 1 and God's working in Achan's heart, and boy, Achan's under deep conviction because he stole the gold, the silver, and the Babylonian garments, and he comes to Joshua and said, Joshua, I've sinned. No, it's already played out. People have died. Achan's been exposed, and as a caught individual, he says, all right, I've messed up. I've sinned. This is not true repentance. This is just acknowledging a mess up. This is not a change of direction. This is simply, hey, you've caught me, not true Bible repentance. And so Achan says, I've sinned in verse number 19. Notice in verse number 21, or verse number 20 says, I've sinned, and thus have I done. Verse 21, he gives the testimony of what led to his sin. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of the tent, and the silver under it. Notice there are four things that he highlights, four action statements that he says here in this verse. He says, first of all, he said, I saw. You say, Pastor, what leads to sin? Number one is your eyes. It's your eyes. I wonder, what are you putting in front of your eyes? I think it was Job that made the statement. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hey, can I ask you this morning, what are you allowing to enter into the eye gate? What are you allowing to go through these eyes? Maybe I'm preaching to somebody this morning, and boy, you'd say, well, I never commit adultery. I never cheat on my husband or my wife and fornicate. I never do that. And yet you're looking at pornography. You know what's going to happen? Boy, the things that you're looking at, maybe it's the movies you're watching. Maybe it's the shows that you're watching, things that you're associating, magazines you're reading, whatever it may be. You allow it to go through the eye gate. And you know what happens? It sits in the eye gate, start to think on it. And boy, it starts to germinate. Before long, boy, you're acting upon that. And what happened, Achan? How did you get to this place of being exposed as a fraud? He said, it started with my eyes. I'm out there fighting, and boy, and by the way, Achan was doing what God had asked him to do. Man, here I am, I'm in the army. You say, well, Pastor, I'm in church, and man, I'm singing for God, I'm giving for God. I maybe went out and was handing out gospel tracts, and boy, inviting people to come out, and I'm busy doing what God's called me to do. And understand, just because you're busy doesn't mean you're going to, you know, it doesn't mean you're immune from allowing things to enter the eye gate. You know, I it's amazing to me the amount of Christians that have been caught involved in sin. Where did it happen? It started with them being busy, and while they're busy, all of a sudden here comes the temptation. Here comes the lust of the flesh. I saw. Number two, it says in verse number 21, it says, then I coveted them. What's the downward spiral for sin? It starts in the eye gate, and then it went to, this is what I want. I coveted them. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. You know, what is covetousness? It's wanting something that's not yours. It's something that belongs to somebody else. And by the way, it may be you covet somebody's job, somebody's bank account, somebody's house, somebody's car. I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't know what it may be, friend, but understand, when you start to desire something that's not yours, you're heading down that wrong path. And boy, that's, you say, Pastor, what's the solution? The solution is get right with God. Lord, I've been covetous. I've been coveting. I've been doing wrong. I saw something I not saw it. I see it. And now it's in my mind. I'm dwelling upon it. God, search me and try me and know my thoughts. I think about David. What did David do? There he is. He's back at the palace. And boy, he's up late at night, and what is he doing? He's on top of the roof, and he's looking over Jerusalem. Maybe he's worshiping God on the roof. We don't know, but he saw Bathsheba there, and what did they do? He said, I want her. And boy, he coveted what was not his own. And boy, when he grabbed her, and boy, the end result was a mess. You say, Pastor, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying you better make sure you're not coveting. You better make sure covetousness is not a part of your life. He said, I saw. He said, I coveted. Look in verse 21 again. It says, and took them. Number three, it was action. He took them. Man, there he was. He fulfilled that selfish desire, and he took them. I wonder this morning, are you an individual that is partaking in sin? Are you active in sin? You know, the first two, I saw and I coveted. Man, there was no action that was involved, but now he's moved from what he's seeing and what he's thinking and processing to now I am partaking in that sin. I wonder, are you involved this morning in sin? I don't know what it may be, but friend, understand there is danger in that. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took. And verse number 21 at the end, it says, and they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Number four, he hid it. I hid it. Man, I took it. I hid it. Man, what do we do with our sin? We try to hide it. We try to hide it. We try to get away with it. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. What do? They saw the fruit. Hey, we can be like God, know good and evil. They took it, they ate it, and what they do, they tried to hide their sin by putting clothes on them. That's what Cain did. He was jealous because his sacrifice was not accepted like Abel's. Jacob coveted his brother's birthright. Judah desired an adulterous affair. Nadab and Abiram, they wanted the praise that Moses was receiving. Saul coveted the praise of David that David was receiving. David wanted another man's wife. Solomon wanted more women. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the praise that Barnabas was receiving. Diotrephes wanted the preeminence there in 1 John.
third John. You say, Pastor, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying every time you look back at the beginning of sin, what does it start with? It starts with the eye gate. And then it goes to the mind and what you think on and cultivate. And then it goes to acting upon it. And then it goes to trying to hide it and cover it up. Friend, you cannot hide your sin. We see, number one, the problems associated with sin. Number two, the path of sin. But notice thirdly and lastly, the punishment of sin because of our sin. Look in verse 25. It says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? By the way, that's play on words there. Achan's name means trouble. And Achan was a troublemaker. So Joshua said, why hast thou Achaned us, troubled us? It's kind of like Jacob. Jacob's name meant deceiver. And Jacob had to look at the Lord and say, Lord, my name's Jacob, there when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. By the way, in order for us to have victory, you've got to call your sin what it is. You can't cover it up, can't pretend like it's, well, it's just another lifestyle, it's just this, it's just that. No, no, it's sin before God. And we got to call it what the Bible calls it, sin. And Achan, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee, Achan thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. We see the punishment. There was death. Can I remind you this morning, friend, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. People die because of Adam and Eve and their sin in the garden. Amen. Understand this morning, the ultimate fruit of our sin is death. There's a physical death, but I think about the spiritual death. I'm preaching to somebody this morning, and there's never been a time in your life when you turn from your sin and you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. Friend, one day you will spend eternity separated from God because of your sin. Your sin, my sin, separates us from God. How can we be made right with God? It's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. The punishment is death. But number two, I think about the punishment is destruction. Sin wrecks the human body. Sin destroyed the life of Achan. Sin destroyed not only Achan's life, but his kids and his family's friend. Dear friend, this morning, sin will destroy you. The end result of being consumed with alcohol. And boy, the Hollywood crowd will say, drink this, and boy, you'll be the life of the party. Yeah, they never show somebody with a dying in the hospital because their liver is given out. They never show somebody that's died because of the car wreck. Then they never show homes that have been destroyed and marriages that have been ended in divorce and kids that are broken because of that alcohol and that wickedness. The end result of being sexually loose is the sexually transmitted disease. They never promote that. They never show that. You say, Pastor, what's the big lie of Hollywood? The big lie of Hollywood is simply, hey, you can get away with it and be the life of the party and there won't be any consequences. But I kind of remind you this morning, dear friend, that your sin, the choice to disobey God, will have great consequences. Please heed God's plan for you and stay away from sin. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. Don't follow it. Don't hang on to it. But this morning, flee also youthful lust. You say, Pastor, I've been involved in sin. I've been living a sinful life. There are patterns in my life that sin has just become ingrained in my life. How do I have victory? Hey, the answer for that, the victory is in Christ. The victory comes like David after David was caught in his sin. Remember David, there sinned with Bathsheba, killed her husband. Been out of the will of God for about a year, running from God. Nathan says, hey, Nathan said, you are the man, David. You're the one that sinned against God. Boy, there in Psalm 51, David said this. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my sin. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You say, Pastor, I want victory. I don't want to live a life of sin. I don't want to live a life for the flesh. I want God's blessing upon my life. I want to be right with God and fellowship with God. How can I have that? Friend, you got to confess your sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this morning, instead of continuing living a life of sin, living for your flesh, friend, this morning, why don't you make the choice instead to seek God's forgiveness and to enjoy the blessings that come from being right with Almighty God? I wonder this morning, are you going to continue to swallow the lie of Hollywood with your sin? Or this morning, will you forsake it and find victory in Jesus Christ? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the warning that's in your word.
Lord, you warn us to flee from the wrath to come. You warn us about sin. And Lord, I don't know this morning what somebody may be involved with here in this church, but you do. And your Holy Spirit's been working in their hearts and bringing about conviction. I pray today that they would humble themselves before you. And I pray today that they would leave right with you. Lord, help us as believers to stay away from sin. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ to forgive my sin. I know He's my Savior. But boy, there's been things in my life that I've been participating in. Maybe I've been seeing them. Maybe I've been coveting. Maybe I've not acted upon it. But boy, those first two things have been a part of my life. And I realize the path that I'm going. Maybe I've been living in sin. But you say, Pastor, this morning God spoke to my heart. And I need to get rid of that sin in my life. I need to get right with God. Would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room, preacher? Pray for me. Man, good. Good number. Amen. Boy, praise the Lord for that this morning. That's good. That's the Holy Spirit of God working in your heart. This morning, get that right with God. Deal with that this morning. Don't leave living that life of sin. But I wonder, lastly, this morning, I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, but I know Jesus died for me on the cross and rose again. And this morning, I want Christ to take away my sins. I want a home in heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm not sure I'm saved. Want to get that settled this morning. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Anybody like that at all? Want to embarrass you? But I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Well, Father, would you work in this invitation? Thank you for your conviction this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together and take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 388 this morning. Friend, God spoke to your heart. Time of invitation is a time to make a decision. We'd love to invite you. Maybe you need to come near the altar, get along with God. Maybe there in your seat, God spoke to your heart. But as we sing hymn 388 this morning, would you let God have his way as we sing? Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Would you come as we stand and sing this morning?